Be'ezras Hashem, b'li neder, let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Tzvi ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf is in the Durham daf Chav Zayin, and we left off a few lines down on.
Stephen also posted someone's name.
Can you get that name for me? On Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Thank you for reminding me, because there's no way I ever would have remembered that.
Moshe Ben Ben Zion.
Okay, today's learning is also dedicated for Refuah Shleima for Moshe Ben Ben Zion. We left off at the words Mantana. Good morning, Dr. Joe. We left off at the words Mantana, which is about 10 lines down. 10 lines down before the Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about the halach of neder shehutar mektsasa hutar kula. And the Gemara had just brought two examples, the onions and the figs. If a guy says, I'm not going to eat any figs, but then he realizes that some figs are really okay for him. So would that be under the rubric of neder shehutar mektsasa hutar kula? And the Gemara also said it depends how you retract, what language you use to retract. That was the yesod of yesterday's daf. And in yesterday's daf, and that's just the only thing you need to know for the first couple of lines of today's daf till we get into a whole new topic. Today's a very fascinating, very interesting topic today. But before we get into it, just like one line, that's just a review of the whole yesterday's daf. And Rabbi said, to remember, we presented in yesterday's daf a machlokas between Rabba and Rava. That's what you need to know to start off. And the Mishnah had a machlokas Beishai and Beis Hillel. Beishai says you don't say neder shehutar mektsasa hutar kula, and Beis Hillel says you do say neder shehutar mektsasa hutar kula. But under what circumstances? So yesterday we presented a machlokas Rabba and Rava. Rava said, when you change your mind, when you realize that your father and your brother are there, when you change your mind and say, oh, originally you said, kulchem asurim, you're all asurim, my figs. But then you realize it was your father and your brother, and you change and said, had I known my father and my brother, I would have said, kulchem, except for my father. If you use that same language of kulchem, so Rabbi says, in that case, everyone agrees the others are asur, and your father and brother are mutter. The machlokas is not where you changed to kulchem. The machlokas is where you changed and said, only you and you are usher, and my father and brother would be mutter. That's where the machlokas is. That was Rava's opinion. Rava says the opposite. Rava, at the top of yesterday's, of the opening of yesterday's app, Rava said the opposite. No. Everyone agrees if you changed it to say ploni or ploni, then everyone would be mutter. Both Beishai and Beis Hillel would agree. Even Beishamai would agree. Everyone is mutter if you changed it from kulchem to ploni or ploni. Everyone agree that's a neder shehutar mektsasa hutar kula. The machlokas is by kulchem. If you said originally kulchem and then you changed it to kulchem or asurim, except for my father or except for my brother, if you kept the language of kulchem, the shail is tfos lashon rishon, tfos lashon achron, that's where the machlokas would be. So in today's daf, we just begin with one line that just summarizes this. And so let's go ahead, says the Gemara. Now, the Gemara now is going to quote a brisa. Man tana lahad tana rabbanan. So now, according to Rabba and Rava, who is the author of the following brisa? Nadar michamisha b'nei adam ke'echad. Let's say a guy, I see there's five guys sitting in front of me. Oh, that reminds me. Good morning, Avi. Good morning, Dr. Joe. Good morning, Yitzhak Yosef. Good morning, Rav Eliezer Dov. Good morning, Tzvika. Good morning, Chanachena. Good morning, Jeremy. And good morning, that looks like David Yoshua. So, let's say I have five people sitting in front of me. I have three people on Zoom and five in front of me. But I don't really mean this, but I say, I hereby am preventing myself, I'm assuring Hana on myself from the following five people. From the five people sitting in front of me. And then, I change. What do I say? Nadam mechanish le'adam ke'echad. Huta le'echad mehem. Then I said, oh, I didn't realize my good friend Dr. Joe is here. I never meant to ask my good friend Dr. Joe. So I said, I didn't realize Dr. Joe was here. So no, I never meant to ask from Dr. Joe. So does that remove the neder from the other four guys also, or only from Dr. Joe? I never would have put made a hana on Dr. Joe. So says the Braisa, Huta le'echad mehen hutru kulam. So if I'm matir one of them, all of them are mutter. But then it says, chutz me'echad mehen, but if I say it in a different language, if I say the language of chutz me'echad mehen, then hu mutter v'hein asurin, then only Dr. Joe is mutter and the others are asur. So it sounds like there's one case where if I matir one of them, everybody's mutter. But there's another case, if I matir one of them, only he's mutter and the other ones are asur. So which case is which? So the Gemara just says, now that we learned yesterday's daf, so we can understand this braisa. Well, how do you understand the braisa? It depends. How do you go back and change your mind from all five to the one? What language do you use to change your mind? It's going to depend on Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. It's going to depend on Rabba and Rava. So says the Gemara. Ila Rabba. According to Rabba, Reisha, Rabbi Akiva. So the Reisha is talking about, the Reisha seems to be talking about what it's saying in the Reisha. In the Reisha it said, if one of them is gone, everyone's gone. So that's got to be talking about where you changed your language. Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbanan, even if you change the language, it's not everybody's mutter. So if you say, you have to say Reisha, according to Rabba, it's where you change the language and the Reisha is only going because of Rabbi Akiva, V'Seifa, Divrei HaKol. And the Seifa is talking about a case of where you kept the same language. That's why it says, you kept the Kolchem. So it's Hu Mutter V'Hein Asurin. So according to Rabba, if you kept the Kolchem, everyone agrees that the Issa remains. That was Rabba. Everyone's where you started with Kolchem and you changed it back to Kolchem. According to Rabba, everybody agrees the other ones are Asur and he's Mutter. So you have to say that the Seifa is Divrei HaKol and it's talking about where you kept the same language. V'ila Rava, but however, according to Rava, it's the opposite. Seifa Kirabanan. According to Rabba, the Seifa is talking about where you kept the same language and that's why only he's mutter, everybody else is Asur. That's going like the Rabbanan. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rava, even if you keep the same language, it's mutter. Everyone's mutter. So it can't be Rabbi Akiva. V'resha divrei HaKol. But the resha is where you change the language. And we said when you change the language, everybody's mutter. According to Rava, that's going to be, everybody's going to agree. That's going to be divrei HaKol. So it's just simply a summary of the two opinions that we had yesterday. Just to say it one more time. Just to say it one final time, Rabba says the machl. Everyone agrees that if you keep the language of Kolchem, Rabba said everyone agrees if you keep the language of Kolchem, so the others are usher and your father's mutter. The machlokus is where you changed it to zeh v'zeh. That Beis Shammai says only he's mutter and everyone else is usher, and Beis Hillel says no, everyone's mutter even if you change the language. Everybody is mutter. That was a Rabba, but Rava said the opposite. Rava said that no. Everyone agrees that if you change the language, everyone agrees everyone's mutter. The machlokis is if you keep the same language that Beis Hillel says everyone's mutter, and Beis Shammai says only your father and brother are mutter, but everyone else is usher. And Rabbi Akiva says like Beis Hillel, and Rabbanan say like Beis Shammai. Fine. Let's continue. Brand new story. Very interesting story. Now, we finally got to the last case. There's a famous sugya. We learned this sugya also in Ksubas. Same sugya, Daf Beis and Ksubas. Almost exactly the same sugya. So we had in the first Mishnah, we had four types of nidarim that are not chal. We had Nidrei Zrizin, where you're just posturing, you don't really mean the nether. We had Nidrei Havai, an exaggeration, where you said, oh, I'm asked this loaf of bread, if I saw 600,000 people there, or if I saw a snake as thick as Korah's Pesabad. Then the last mission, we had Nidrei Shkagos, where you accidentally made a ned that you didn't mean to make. And now we have Nidre Onsin. This is the fourth case, Ones. So today's shiur is all going to be about what's the halacha of Ones. When do we apply the rule of Ones, Rachmana Patre, and when do we not apply the rule? That's the entire daf. Here we go. Says the Mishnah, Nidre Onsin. What's an example of Nidre Onsin? Hidiru Chaveru She'ochal Etzlo. I would like Tzvika very much to come over to my house and eat Shabbos lunch. And not only would I like Tzvika to come over and eat Shabbos lunch, Tzvika himself wants to come over to the Kamenetskys to eat Shabbos lunch. We'll see. The Gemara is going to talk about exactly who made the nether in this case. That's going to be very important. We're going to see who made the nether. So, Pashup Shat, the Gemara is going to say, Tzvika so much wants to come over to my house Shabbos lunch that Tzvika comes over to me and says, Rabbi, I want you to aser all of your nechasim on me if I don't come eat Shabbos lunch by you. I really want to eat Shabbos lunch, and I want to give myself an incentive. You know, I'm a little embarrassed to come over to the rabbi's house. I don't know if I really want to go, but I know I really want to do it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to bring my kids. I'm not going to want to go to your principal's house for lunch. So here's what I want you to do. Make a neder, and this is what I do. I say, Tzvika, I'm asering all of my stuff on you if you don't come to my house Shabbos lunch. And then what happens? Well, maybe we shouldn't have used Tzvika as an example. He got sick. Or your son got sick, or whatever, there was a flood, whatever it was, the river overflowed. Okay, so he wasn't Mekayim the nether. So he didn't listen. So the question is, does all my possessions now become Asur and Tzvika or not? He made the nether because he really wanted to come Shabbos lunch. He didn't come. He said, if I don't come Shabbos lunch, all my stuff is Asur on you. I made such a nether. So the question is the nether Chal? So the Mishnah says, no, the nether is not Chal. Why is it not Chal? Because it's an Ones. He really wanted to come. He got sick. It wasn't his fault. So the nether is not Chal. Why not? Because when you made the nether, you only meant that the nether should be Chal if you were able to come and didn't come. That should be a nether. But if you here it was an Ones. So there's Machlokas. So in other words, the Ran understands here, Machlokas, the Ran and the Rush, why Neder Onsen is not Chal. The Ran says very simply, you only intended for the Neder to be Chal if I could have come and didn't come. Since Tzvika wanted to come, but he just was not able to come, so he never intended to be a Neder B'chiyai Gavna. The Neder was only for a case of where he could have come. Here it was against his will. So therefore the Neder is not Chal. That's the Ran. The Rush says a little bit differently. The Rush says it's not based on a Svara, it's based on a Pasuk. The Torah says, Ha'adam B'Shvua, which means a Shvua is only Chal, a Pasuk, the Pasuk says, a Shvua is only Chal if your full faculties, if you're fully intentional in Sarachadam Yeh Nishpa L'Daito U'Lurtzono. So Anus is not L'Daito U'Lurtzono. When you're an Anus, this was not, again, it's very similar to the Ran, but it's based on a Pasuk. Ha'adam B'Shvua, you have to be a full sound mind and body when you make a Shvua. And here, you weren't really, because an Ones wasn't part of the Cheshbon. The fact that an Ones happened to you, that was not in your mind. That is not, it's a chisar in ha'adam b'shvua. That's the way the Rush understands. Says the Gemara, Hahu gavra, da'adfis zachvasa bebeidina. There was a certain guy who had a document, and the document was one proof that Shimon owed him money. So Reuven has a document that proves that Shimon owes him money. And he wants to bring more proofs. He wants to go home and bring more proofs. He's in Bezdin, he has this document. So he gives the document to Bezdin. He says, listen, I know you want to have your court case already, but I have more proofs. This document's not my only proof. So I'm giving you Bezdin my document, and I'm saying like this, if I don't come back to Bezdin within 30 days, you could rip up this document. As they want to, you know, the other guy says, let's have the court case already. The guy's lying. I don't owe him the money. He says, well, I have one document here, but I have more proof. So here, take this document, and I'm giving you permission. I'm saying you could rip it up if I don't come back to Bezdin in 30 days. That's going to show that I was lying, that I don't really have more documents, and I didn't come back, so rip it up. He gave his documents to Bezdin. Va'omar, if I don't show up with the rest of my documents by 30 days, I'm giving up my rights to prove my case with this document. And what happens? Isness. An onus happens. And he really wanted to come back to Bezdin, but he got sick. He's in the hospital. So an onus happened. Veloasa. That's why he didn't show up. So Amar Rav Huna says, even though the reason why he was Mekayim is Tanai. Oh, so that's going to be the whole topic of today's daf. If a person is Mekayim the Tanai, but he's Mekayim the Tanai because of an onus, he never intended that. He intended that the Tanai should be a Tanai if I could have shown up and I didn't show up. Not if I got sick and that's why I didn't show up. But Rav Huna says, too bad. You made a condition. You fulfilled the condition. I'm Rav Huna, batil zachvasa. So Rav Huna seems to say, a kiyum tanai ba'ones is considered to be a kiyum tanai at the end of the day. Or I should say, a lack of, you did not mekayim the tanai because of an ones. Too bad you weren't mekayim the tanai. Well, in a certain sense, like you were mekayim the tanai because you said, what was the tanai? I was right the first time. Akiyam atnai ba'onis. What was the tonight? If I don't show up, you could rip up my document. Well, you didn't show up. Now, the reason you didn't show up was because of an onus. But akiyam atnai ayudei onus, Rav Huna says, that's called akiyam atnai. Even though you didn't intend to be mekayim tonight, at the end of the day, you said if I don't show up, you could rip it up. You didn't show up, so they could rip it up. Rav Huna batal zachvasa. So that's Rav Huna's shita. Rav Huna holds akiyam tonight ba'onis is akiyam atnai. Says Rav to Rav Huna, what are you talking about? How is that called a kima tanai? Amalei Rava, onus hu, ve'onus rachmana patre. You're an onus. And just like the Torah says, if a person commits a maisa avera, ayidei onus. You don't get punished for that. If a girl is engaged to marry somebody, is raped by somebody else, what are we going to say? She gets killed, skila, because she's an Aram, or else she was raped. The Torah says she was in the field. She was yelling and screaming, and nobody came to save her. You don't punish a person for an onus because she was raped. Onus achamon apatre. Dichsiv. V'lanara losas adavar. Pashas kiseitze. You can't do anything to a girl who was raped. You don't kill her. Hold on 1 second. So just like, what's the reason why we don't kill her? Because the act that she did is not called a maisa avera. Just like a maisa avera that you do ba'onis is not called a maisa avera, so to a kiyum tanai that you mekayim ba'onis is not called a kiyum tanai. The bottom line is, any act that you do under duress, it's not called that you did the act. So you didn't show up. The fact that you didn't show up was under duress, and therefore We can't penalize you for that. Yes, Dr. Joe.
But the cases in the Mishnah, is there make a difference you know, who says it? Because like
yeah, it's going to make a difference.
I took the nezer, you said you took the nezer against Svika not coming to you, and then he got sick. So, but here I took my own. I went to court. Yeah. I took my own.
Nezer. Right. So let's see. So the Gemara is going to talk about that. Let's see, Dr. Joe. Hang on 1 second. So the Gemara says, "V'chite maktala shiny." If you'll tell me a punishment is different. Punishment is different than Tanai. But I'll prove to you that's not true. What about our Mishnah? V'ha Tanan. What about our Mishnah? Nidre Onsin. Hidir Chaver Sheocha Letzlo. I made a neder that Tzvika shouldn't eat by me. V'chala Uchachala Benosha. Ikvonare El Nidre Onsin. We say that the neder is not Chal. So you see, not only by death, but even by Nidarim, that the nether is not chal, because you never intended ones. So too over here, by Dine Mominus, we should say the nether is not chal, the Tnai is not chal. You shouldn't lose. So the Gemara brings a raya from our Mishnah to Rava. Now, the Gemara says, but wait a second, we have a kasha against Rava. Ularava, Maishnami Hatatana. Now we're going to go back to the Sugi in Ksubas that we learned at the very beginning in Ksubas on Daf Beis. I'm sorry. Yeah, Ksubas. Yeah, it's in Ksubas Daf Beis and it's also in Gittin. It's also in Gittin. Maishnami Hatatana. How is this any different? So Rava said that Anus. What did Rava say? Let's remember who said what. Rava said, just like a girl who's an Anus, you're not going to kill her because Onus is not considered to be a Maisa. So too, Kima Tanai, but Onus is not a Kima Tanai, and therefore, we would not rip up your document if you don't show up. We wouldn't rip it up. Ask Mar, what about the following case? Well, Rava Maishna, we heard this now. How is any different than the following Mishnah? Mishnah Gittin, and was also quoted at the beginning of Ksubas. Hareze Giteich Me'achshav. A man's going on a business trip. He's going away. And the guy hands his wife a get. And he's going to be away for a year. So he says, I'm giving you this get now, and I'm imlobasim yikan ashtem asachodesh. If I don't come back to you within 12 months, the get is a get from now. Umeis besok shtem asachodesh. Let's say he dies. So now, he really wanted to come back. But he couldn't come back because he died. Onus. Hareze get. Says the Gemara, it is a good get. Amai v'hameinus itnis. It was an ones. He was mekayim t'nai because of an ones. Why is that called a kima t'nai? He really shouldn't be divorced, according to Rava. Rava, you just said whenever it's a divorce, it's not called a kima t'nai. So, therefore, you wouldn't rip up the document in the case of the shtar raya in Bezdin. How come over here we say the ones is called a kima t'nai? Answers the Gemara, this ones is different than all other onesin. Amre, Dilmashani, Hassan, this onus is different. Why? Dihavi yada demis. Had the guy known he would have died, min lao to have a gummer of Yoav Gita. He would have given the get right away anyway, had he known he was going to die in 6 months. Why? Because what's the whole reason he's giving her the get? Because if he dies, she doesn't have kids, and he doesn't want her to be Zakuka Liyabam. He doesn't want her to have to worry about Yibam. So had he known he was going to die, the reason why in that case it works is maybe we're talking about a case where they have no kids. So he intended, when he said, if I don't come back within 12 months, I want the get to be a get, included in that was if he died. He wanted the get to be chal if he died because he doesn't want her to have to deal with Yibam. And if she's divorced, so then she doesn't have to deal with Yibam. So maybe that was included. He intended that because he cares about his wife. He doesn't want her to be Zakuka Liyabam, so that's why if he died, he intended. That kind of an onus was in his brain. It was in his brain. If I die, then I want to get to Bicha.
Didn't we say you can't make a deny on something in the future? So here, it only activates if I die.
No, he's saying, I want to get to Bicha now. No, you could do that, Avi. I could say, I want to get to Bicha today if it snows tomorrow.
Right.
And okay. If it snows tomorrow, it's a good get from today. The get goes retroactive. That's the way Tanai works. Right? I'll give you this get if by the next week you deliver me $1,000. It happens every day of the week. People have to give money for getting. Anyway, so the Gemara asks another question. Maishna me'ahu do'amaluhu ilasin mikana atlas in yomin levigita. A guy gives his wife a get and he says, I'm giving you this get. If I don't come back in 30 days, the get should be a get. You'll remember this case. Remember this case. You'll remember this one. Aso paski mabar. Now on day number 30, he's coming back on day number 30, and he comes to the river, but the ferry is on the other side of the river. Paske mabar. The boat is on the other side. Now, his wife is on the other side of the river, and he's yelling at her, Amarlu, chazudasoy, look, I'm coming, I wanted to come, but I just can't get over because of the boat. And he misses out. Shmuel says, too bad, you didn't come back. The get is a good get. That is called Kiyamatnai. Here you can't say, this is not, so how come this works? It's a kash against Rava. Rava said a Kiyamatnai, but onus is not called Kiyamatnai, so we won't rip up the document in Bezdin. And here we see Kiyamatnai, the onus is called Kiyamatnai. The divorce is a good divorce. Why is it a good divorce? Answers the Gemara. Amar Shmuel lo shmei masya amai b'hameinus onus. It was an onus. Why is it called Kivnai? Answers the Gemara. You should have known the ferry schedule. That's not an onus. This happens all the time. The ferry's always on one side of the river or the other side. You can't wait till the last minute and say, oh, I'm sorry, the ferry was on the other side. You should have known that some days that you should have known the ferry schedule. Dilma unse de Megalia shiny. Umabra migli unse. Everybody knows the ferry schedule. That's not an onus. This is it's a well-known thing. So you shouldn't have waited till day 30 and you should have known the ferry schedule. Or you should have included and said, well, if I don't show up in 30 days, but if the ferry's on the other side of the river, obviously, and I wanted to come, well, obviously that's not included. You should have said that. That's a beferisha thing. I don't know. If my car breaks down, would that be a beferisha thing? And by the way, all the Rishonim over here, we mentioned in Ksubas, they talk about what's the din of onus b'yom achron. Onus b'yom achron. That's the case over here. And the Rebbe's in the Shabbaton. So all their grades would do Friday morning. So Friday morning, the Shabbaton, they all come to the lobby. Oh, I waited till the last minute to put in my grades. The internet is down. I couldn't get to my grades. Is that a good excuse? You should have. Why'd you wait till the last minute? Oh, onus b'yom achron. Right, that's the shaila. Right, it comes up all the time. And guys, in the old days, nowadays we wouldn't watch football anymore. Who would waste 3 hours of a Sunday watching a football game, especially to watch the Jets? A 50-year frustrated Jet fan. It serves you right for watching that football game if you watch that game. I told the people, they were talking about Mincha. I said, you don't even have to tell me what happened. I already know what happened. I'm 50 years frustrated Jet fan. You don't have to even tell me what happened. I know already. Of course they mess it up in the last second. But anyway, used to be one time we used to watch football games. Right? Somebody once said, it's going to be some time in the future where we're going to be able to say that we never watched football games. Right? First guy, I used to watch games. But at some time in the future, we're going to be so firm that we're going to say we never watched football games. Anyway, but we used to watch the game. So let's say a guy was watching the game 1 to 4 in the afternoon. So he says, oh, I got plenty of time for Mincha. It's halftime. Dav Mincha. I know I got plenty of time. The game's going to be over at 4 o'clock. I'll be able to go to Mincha, right, in these times, right? But then it goes into overtime. Oh my gosh. And then what happens? Rachmana Litzlan, you forgot to daven mincha. Are you allowed to daven two ma'arivs? What do you call that? An ones? An ones? What do you mean? You could have done it at 1 o'clock. Said, I got plenty of time. You could have done it at halftime. I got plenty of time. And then all of a sudden, the last second. So it's taka real shayla. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that is called an ones. That, in other words, you had time. And then an ones happened or whatever. You got distracted, whatever. Ones b'yom achron. So was that called an onus? That's a machlokas harishonim. This Gemara seems to sound like it would be called an onus had it not been an onus l'shchech, but onus b'yom achron would be a good onus. If it would have been, if you would have gotten sick or your car would have broken down, something that you couldn't have predicted. The ferry being on the other side of the river, that's, you should have predicted that. But an onus that you couldn't have predicted, that really would be a good onus. But anyway, so that's why this is not a good question. Oh. And now the Gemara has one final kasha against Rav Huna, the other direction. Ula Rav Huna, a different kasha. Different kasha. Oh, now we come into sports betting. Sports betting, or any betting. So that's a whole discussion. So now we get into the Shaila of Asmachta. Ask the Gemara, Ula Rav Huna. What did Rav Huna say? Rav Huna said, in the case of the court case, the guy had the document. He leaves it in Bezdin. He says, if I don't come within 30 days, rip up the document. Ask the Gemara, Rav Huna, michti, asmachtahi, va'asmachta lo kanyo. We're going to learn the sugi of asmachta in Sanhedrin. When we learn Sanhedrin in about, I don't know, a year and a half from now, we're going to learn Sanhedrin. Bez Hashem. So, why isn't this like betting, gambling? And don't we hold asmachta lo kanya? Why is it betting? Rabbi Yitzchak goes like this. Well, you leave you're taking a risk here. You leave your shtar in Bezdin. You say, listen, I'm going home to get more things. Now you fully think that you have more rise and you're going to be back in 30 days. You think you're going to do it. And now what happens? You end up, you looked, you searched, you couldn't find the other documents. So we say you didn't come back in 30 days, you didn't produce the other documents. So you rip it up. Wasn't that like, you were only intending to let the guy rip it up if you willingly didn't come back within 30 days. But here, you never thought it was going to come to this. You were just saying, you never thought it was going to come to this. So you didn't really intend to let the guy rip it up. So how is he allowed to rip it up if you never intended to really, you thought you were coming back? Isn't this an asmachta? Anyone who gives over something to someone else, not really intending to give it. Like when a guy bets on a game. He bets on a game. He says, oh, well, you never bet on the Jets, that's for sure. That's just stupid to do. That's moronic to bet on the Jets. But let's say, as a guy bets on whoever the Jets are playing, I know the Jets are going to lose, for sure. What's the shiva? So the guy bets them. But then it turns out they get lucky 1 week, they win one game. They get lucky. So does he have to pay the money? He thought for sure, I've been watching the Jets for 50 years. They've been losing and losing and losing for 50 years. So does he have to pay the money? And are you allowed to, this whole sports betting industry? Asmachta lo kanya. You never intended, or a guy rolls the dice, right? I'm playing a game of dice with you. So if it rolls on six, then I win the pot. If it rolls on four, betting, all this betting on all these things. It's asmachta. Why'd you go into this? Because you thought you were going to win. Maybe betting is actually different because you didn't think you were going to win. It's like 50-50 chance. Is the dice going to roll on 1, 2, 3, or is it going to roll on 4, 5, 6? So you know it's a 50-50 chance. And you're willing to play the game anyway. That's a whole question. What type of gambling is usur? I'll pee the Torah. Is it usur, or is it just... it just makes you puzzle edus, or maybe it's not us, or is it called stealing? Is it not called stealing? This is a big sugya in Sanhedrin. Mm-hmm. Big sugya. Not the time, we don't have the time now to go over, maybe in Sanhedrin we'll go in a little bit more. But ask the Gemara, this should be a case of asmachta. Why are we going to rip it up? You thought you were coming back. That's why you made the nether. Asmachta lo kanya. Answers the Gemara, no. Shani hacha de mitfisin zechusa. Since I gave the document to Bezdin, you gave it to Bezdin. Since I gave the document to Bezdin, it's not asmachta. They're holding on to the document. Once I give it, if I wouldn't have given it, I would have said, I'll give it to you if I don't show up. That might be an asmachta. But once I give it over to them, it's already, the document is like owned by Bezdin. So I got rid of it. I'm willing to rip it up. Once I've given it away, it's no longer asmachta. Says the Gemara, really? Whenever you give away the document, it's not an asmachta? But we have another Mishnah. Misha par mitzvah chova. Let's say a guy paid back half the document. V'hishla shestar. So I owe Avi $1,000, and Avi has a document that says I owe him $1,000. Now Avi gives the document to Tzvika. Avi, I pay you $500. Now Avi, you give the document to Tzvika. Or V'omar, I'm sorry. And I say, I owe the money. So I say to Tzvika, Avi, if I don't pay you back I say to Tzvika, right? So I'm going to give Tzvika the document. I say to Tzvika, if I don't pay Avi back the other $500 by 30 days, you can give him the document back. We make an agreement. You can give Avi the document back and he can collect the whole $1,000. Again. I owe him the money. So I say, listen, I'm going to give you the money. I just need 30 more days to pay. If I don't pay within 30 days, you can get the document back and collect the whole $1,000 from me. I already gave you $500. So here's a case where you gave the document to somebody else. Again. Hishlish estaro. Hishlish. You gave the document to a third party. If I don't pay Avi the other $500 back within 30 days, give him back the document, and he'll collect the whole $1,000. He gives man below nasan. If the 30 days came and I didn't give it, so the question is, can you now do what I said? You see, Tzvika, I only really meant to tell you that to give it back to him because I thought I was going to pay back. I just wanted to give myself time. I thought I was going to have plenty of time. I'll be able to find the money. I'd be able to make the money and pay him back. But now it happened. So is that an asmachta? Sounds like I never really want you to do it. So it's an asmachta. He gives man velo nasan. So Rabbi Yossi omer yitin. Rabbi Yossi says, asmachta kanya. Rabbi Yossi holds, asmachta is a good deal. So you give it back. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yitin. Rabbi says, no, don't give him back the document. Why? Because he holds, asmachta lo kanya. Rather, I was like Rabbi Yehuda says, "Matalo kanya." And this is talking about a case where I already parted with the document. I gave the document to Tzvika. So you see, even when you did give the document, it's still an asmachta. Answers the Gemara, but it's still different. Shani Hacha, by the case of Bezdin, is different to Omar, Libatlan Zachvase, because I explicitly stated that the document is null and void. Not only, it's two things. Number one, you gave over the document, and you explicitly stated that the document is null and void. I admit that if I don't bring the rest of the documents at the end of 30 days, I'm saying that this document was a forgery. So since I've been admitting that the document was a forgery, so it's not an asmachta because I'm not just saying not to apply the document. Okay, I'll roll the dice and apply it. I'm saying that if I don't show up in 30 days, that's a riot that the document is a forgery. So it's not an asmachta. It's for a different reason. It's because it's considered to be admitting that the document is a forgery. That's the way the Rosh understands. Tosa says differently. Tosa says, maybe Rav Huna really holds asmachta kanya. But that's not the simple pshat. The simple pshat is like the Rosh. So this is not a case of an asmachta at all. Now, once we talked about asmachta, what's the psak halacha? This is very important for the sugya in Sanhedrin. The hilchasa, the halacha is, what do we hold about betting, about asmachta, all this stuff? So our Gemara seems to say, wow, the hilchasa, asmachta kanya. Wow. Our Gemara says that in a case of where I depend my payment on like a random type of situation, or where I wasn't really, and I was hoping that I would win, and I end up losing, or for some crazy reason you bet, you bet against the Jets, so of course you knew the Jets were going to lose, but then they end up winning. So it's an asmachta you never intended. You thought for sure you were right. You bet against the Jets. The hilchasa asmachta kanya. In the case of where you thought you were going to win and you ended up losing, you do owe the money. It's not called stealing. You do owe the money. However, the Gemara brings three stipulations. Vehu delo onis. But it's got to be that it wasn't an onus that caused it. But if the reason why you didn't come through with what you said you were going to come through with was an ones, then it's not kana, because ones you never intended, right? So if I don't pay you back in 30 days, giving back the document, and I had the money, but all of a sudden I got robbed, so then the asmachta would not be kona, right? I say that I'm planning on giving you back the money, so if I don't come up with the money, I wasn't an ones, I just didn't have the money, so then you do give him the document, and he's allowed to collect the whole thousand. But if it was because of an ones that happened, then you don't give back the money. So we don't say asmachta kanya in the case of ones, because he never intended that. That's condition number one, no ones. Condition number two, v'hu dekanumine. It's got to be that we make a kinyan. Ah, oh, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, mo'is aladaf. So it could be that in the case of betting, if the money's all here on the table and everyone made a kinyan on the money beforehand, maybe that wouldn't be asmachta. That's where it would say asmachta kanya. And the third condition is bebezdin chashuv. The only time, if you make bezdin chashuv, so then it's not considered to be a problem of asmachta, because no one's going to just play a game if it's with Bezin. Once it's with Bezin, you know it's serious, and it's like you're totally admitting that you owe the money, and that's why you're going to say that asmachta, even in the case you make a condition, once it's in the hands of Bezin, it's going to work. So the Gemara has three conditions. When do we say that a deal with an asmachta works? Where there's no onus, and you make a kinyan, and the kinyan is done in Bezin, so then such a condition would work. But if you don't have all three of those conditions, if you don't have them, then we would say asmachta is lo kanya. So this is a big sugya about when betting is considered legit, when it's not. And the main sugya is in Sanhedrin. Hopefully when we get to Sanhedrin, we'll be able to go a little bit more into it. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day.